Hi, I'm Paul Woodedge, D-Day historian, a battlefield tour guide in Normandy, France. I offer tours of the D-Day landing beaches of 1944 along with my partner Magali. If you would like to find out more, see my website at ddayhistorian.com and my partner Magali's at ddayforyou.com. I am proud to be supporting the Ross Owen Show.
This is Ross Owen.
Virus database has been updated.
This is Ross Owen. They really know their shite.
Why, this is bigger than the Whispering Steeple in Kansas City.
This is Ross Owen.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
7 years of college down the drain.
This is Ross Owen.
Great Scott! What the devil are they doing?
The Ross Owen Show is sponsored by ddayhistorian.com, Airdrieonian Supporters Trust, and Osprey Global.
Black Sky Radio.
Okay, time for my first special guest. He's the number one leading actor in tons of indie movies, and in fact, last year he won Best Actor at the Marbella Film Festival for his role in London Heist. Many of you remember him as Dan Sullivan in EastEnders, but he's also starred alongside Sylvester Stallone, James Caan, Jason Statham and Denzel Washington. Here to talk about his latest movie, Rise of the Foot Soldier 3, which opens in cinemas today, is Craig Fairbrass. Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ross. It's a pleasure to be here.
And it's a pleasure to have you on. I'm really looking forward to this movie. You're reprising your role of Pat Tate. Could you just give us a quick lowdown on who the man is?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Pat Tate, he was one of the trio of three guys who was murdered. Pat Tate, Tony Tucker and Craig Rolfe. These were three sort of mid-sized, thought they were bigger than they actually were, gangsters who lived in Essex. They run doors, nightclubs, sold ecstasy and cocaine. Overstepped the mark, and the three of them were murdered in, I think, around 1994, in a Range Rover, one cold, dark, snowy night. And since that time, there's been a series of movies made about these characters and about the Range Rover murders. This one concentrates on Pat, his early years of getting to where he got, you know, his rise of notoriety, meeting the other gang members,
sure.
Right up until his death, basically.
And it's interesting because in the first one, you kind of hear about little things that's happened in his past. So this gives you an opportunity then to bring these stories into the play. Now, Rise of the Foot Soldier 3 is a prequel. Terry Stone's back as Tony Tucker. What's it been like working with Terry again?
Oh, it's been fantastic. Terry's a mate. Craig's a mate. Roland's a mate.
Roland
so
Manukian.
The three of us. Yeah, he plays Craig Rolfe. But the three of us, I was saying, you know, he was filming in the Range Rover. And it was like we was in there yesterday. It was 10 years ago. And, you know, we had such a great time. It's one of those jobs that every day you go to work and you laugh and you enjoy doing what you're doing. And I've enjoyed it immensely. I mean, the guys behind the film, excuse me, Carnaby, they're fantastic. And they really, really get behind the projects, you know.
Can I actually see how much you guys are enjoying the filming? Because we saw that video on YouTube of you guys singing in the car in the Range Rover. It's cheese, you cunt.
Cheese, you cunt. Cheese, you cunt.
Tell me something. Who came up with that?
Well, let me explain to you. I'll tell you exactly how we came up with that. When you're filming in the car and you're doing the cameras at the front and the cameras at the side, you usually go on a low loader so they can control it so you don't have an accident. But once you get in the car, these things go all around you and you can't get in there. So you're locked in there all day long doing scene after scene after scene. And ultimately you get bored. And we had all the props in there, the sugar powder and the music. And we just, oh, fuck it. We just kept mucking about and we came up with that song and we just done it. And I think it got like 1.5 million hits on Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah. It went viral. We're like, literally.
Now, you mentioned sugar powder. There's in this movie, there's well, certainly in the first one, there's a lot of drugs. I mean, it's, you know, I've often wondered about that, you know, about what are they, you know, what are they actually taking up their nose? Because that, obviously, you can see actors doing it. Is that not uncomfortable? I mean, like, physically uncomfortable?
Oh, it's terrible. It's horrible. I can't tell you how horrible it is. Because it's sugar. And ultimately, you get this sort of slight giddy feeling, like a weirdness come over you, because you're snorting sugar up your nose. It's going straight to your brain. It's like a sugar rush. But when you're doing it over and over and over again, it's really uncomfortable. That's why I try to only do it on the close-ups, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was doing so much of it in this film. Because the guy was a proper drug addict.
Right. Now, who else is in this movie? We've got Larry Lamb's in it as well, isn't he?
Yeah, Larry Lamb's in it. He's playing the head villain out in Spain. Billy Murray's back as Mickey Steele.
I love Billy Murray.
We're lucky enough to get Sean Ryder. Who else?
Jimmy Foreman's in this as well, isn't he?
Yeah, Jamie Foreman. He plays my sort of someone I really look up to. Sort of oversees everything, and he's like a wiser older guy. Do you know what I mean? Who can sort of see what's coming?
Sure.
Jamie's great in it.
Now, you've worked with a lot of actors over the years. You've worked with a few Hollywood stars: James Caan, Sylvester Stallone, Denzel Washington. I mean, who's been your favourite star to work with?
They've all been different in their own ways. Obviously, I worked with Michael Rooker in Cliffhanger. I found him really nice. And recently, I worked with Jason Patrick, who was in The Outsider, with James Caan, who was really, really very down-to-earth and normal. It's funny because you travel and you go around and you turn up on sets and you know, each individual's different. Mm-hmm. Some people are away with the fairies. Some people are grounded and down-to-earth.
Right.
All I can say is I've always enjoyed myself, and everyone I've worked with has been fine. So, you know. My first proper real acting role, where I actually turned up, I was in a trailer, went to wardrobe, went to makeup, put on the stuff, learnt the lines, was with Denzel Washington, The Queen of Country. That was my first time on a film set properly.
Right.
The little bits and pieces that you read about is when you're basically an extra. You know, you've got spit in the cuff.
Well, we've all got to start somewhere, haven't we?
You have to do it. When I look back on what I've done, I think to myself, every job, everything I've done, I've either met somebody or it's led to something. Sure. And I knew it would do at the time. And there's a million times I stood in places and felt embarrassed, uncomfortable, hated every moment of it. But I've always seen the bigger picture. I knew where I was going. I knew I was going to work in films. I knew I was going to, you know, go to America and work in films. I knew I was going to work in independent films here. I just knew it. And, you know, that focus and that drive and that force of will and just, you know, dreaming gets you there.
Sure.
You know, and that is in my own personal little world. You know, everything that I set out to do as an actor, personally, for me, from where I was born, where I come from, where I grew up, I've accomplished. So I'm happy, put it that way.
Now, you yourself, we mentioned Billy Murray earlier on, Billy, who plays Mickey Steele in the movie. You two have worked together on, you know, outside movies, doing Call of Duty, but I mean, we can't not mention Call of Duty.
Well, I got billed a gig. I was working, and I said, I got a mate of mine, listen to Billy's voice. Ended up getting Captain Price, which is great. I think Bill did 3 out of 5, and I've just done 2 big, I've just had to sign NDA agreements, can't talk about them yet.
Right.
But I've just done two massive games where their performance captures. So it's actually now my voice and my face and physicality,
which
will be out next year, which I'm really, really excited about. I mean, they're massive. They've got like 50 million online players.
Yeah, so, it's crazy, isn't it? Were you prepared for that? The response to that character, were you prepared for that before you went in?
No, I wasn't. It was one of those things. It was just another job. You know, I was in LA. I was going through a little bit of a dry period. Work was getting a bit tough. I was going to come home. And someone said to me, you know, oh, you do voiceovers, didn't you? I said, well, yeah, I'll do a few in London. They said, well, there's an audition tomorrow. Go in for this. And it was Call of Duty. And I went in there. And that afternoon, they rung up my agent and went, we want Craig. Which then led to load of more games. I've been killed off 3 times. They keep bringing me back.
I was reading that. I was hearing about that. Yeah. You're back as a ghost.
I think, yeah, Ghost. Well, funny you saying that. Ghost was the most successful character I played in Modern Warfare. That was the one where I had actually fans and people writing to me crying,
wow,
saying one of the most worst things that ever happened to me is watching you die in Call of Duty. It was so upsetting. I felt like I knew you. God, thousands of emails. I can't tell you. It's the most weirdest thing.
You know, I've got a friend in Hollywood who works for Call of Duty. He makes the trailers and he does stuff. It's a really, really cool job. Although he works for Call of Duty, he loves playing it as well. Massive, massive fan. Could you say hello to Josh in Hollywood for me?
Josh, hello, mate. Keep playing. Keep doing it. And when you do the next one, think about me.
Listen,
don't forget me.
I know you don't have a lot of time today. You've got a lot of interviews to get through. But I just want to wish you the best of luck with Rise of the Foot Soldier 3 and, of course, with all your future projects.
Well, thank you, sir, for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Take care. Cheers.
Take care. Craig Fairbrass, everybody.
Bye. Black Sky Radio.
Governor shouts for time as the crooner's singing my way. This bleeding heart of mine flows like claret on a tray. different times and different people. Guess they weren't always right, but let's raise a glass to the old East End tonight. Slug a shot in the blind beggar. Now ain't you dressed to kill? If that Jaguar's old lever could speak of every ill. Had those twins stayed at the Repton after learning how to fight, they'd be drinking in the old East End tonight. In this land of saints and sinners, you're straight or on the fix. We had losers, we had winners in 1966. From the moment he pulled the trigger, everybody lost their sight, while the old Bill paced the old East End that night. After some lengthy holidays, they let them home to rest. The crowds poured out along the streets as the horses pulled their guests. And we sat down in Polici's, where we popped that blood-red wine, and then raised the glass to the old East End that night.
Then tonight, written by Mark Lane and Gary Driscoll, performed by Gary Driscoll. Such a good song. Okay, time now for another special guest, and this time I'm chatting to Terry Stone, who returns to his role as a notorious Tony Tucker in Rise of the Foot Soldier 3, which opens in cinemas today. Terry, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for inviting us on, Ross. It's good to be up in wee bonnie Scotland.
Och, aye, the new.
Aye.
That's what we say up here, apparently.
I've been a regular guest in Scotland, actually. I was at the Edinburgh Film Festival last year and the Edinburgh Film Festival the year before, so I'm a regular visitor up in these parts, and it's a great place. I like it a lot.
Yeah, we all live in castles up here, and we all wear skirts. Right. That's what everybody thinks.
Yeah, I don't mind wearing a skirt, because apparently I've got nice legs, so I'm quite up for it.
Listen, I'm so happy that you're playing Tony Tucker again. For the benefit of the listeners who don't know, you've played Tony Tucker quite a few times now. You've played him in Rise of the Foot Soldier, the first one, Bonded by Blood 1 and 2, and now in Foot Soldier 3. And I have to tell you, I absolutely love the way you play him. He's one of those characters who, although he was a real person, the way you play him, you just can't take your eyes off him when he's on screen. How did you develop the character, and Do you approach the character differently when you play him in different movies?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, when I did First Rise of the Foot Soldier, the guy was dead, so it's very difficult to build a character around
sure.
him. So you, as an actor, you kind of make one up. So I was very happy that people liked what I did with the character. And then what happened was everywhere I went, people kept coming up to me saying, really like Rise of the Foot Soldier, but I wish, you know, you'd have not had that silly wig on because it was really distracting. So, you know, and love to see a film about the Essex Boys. And there's a really good friend of mine, Bernard O'Mahony, who wrote various books about the Essex Boys and, you know, various sort of crime things. He was on, you know, Danny Dyer's Deadliest Men and all this sort of
That's
stuff.
That's right, yeah.
And, he was a doorman in Raquel's nightclub, which obviously Tucker & Co., controlled. And he basically, you know, had a book called Bonded by Blood, and it was his take on it. And I just said, actually, Bernie, you know, wouldn't mind doing something with this. That's how Bonded by Blood came about. And what I didn't want to do, because I'd played Tony Tucker as he was, I mean, everyone used to call him Wiggy because he looked like he had a wig on. So,
yeah.
You know, Rise of the Foot Soldier, it was all about staying true to the characters. And, you know, if the guy had a wig on and looked a certain way, we went for that look. But then on Bonded by Blood, we kind of had a carte blanche. And, you know, we just sort of obviously cast different people, but really good actors in different roles. And a lot of people liked Bonded by Blood and said it was fun. A lot of people said it wasn't as good as Rise of the Foot Soldier. But I think as films, they stand up as good films. They're fun. They're entertaining. But I've got to say, personally, you know, after Bonded by Blood 2, I was a little bit disappointed because in that film, I think they missed a trick because they said to me they wanted to do some flashbacks with Tony Tucker in.
Right.
But what they didn't tell me was that they was going to try and sell the film as the Tony Tucker Show. And if I'd known that, I would have asked for more scenes and more involvement in it because, you know, I don't know, I just watched the film and I just thought there wasn't enough of the character in it. So the people that would maybe buy that or want to see that would be disappointed. So, you know, I wasn't overly happy with how Bonded by Blood 2 turned out. I thought it was a great film and it was fun and it was, you know, for the budget, it done a good job. But I'm just talking about my personal view on it from the Tony Tucker angle. But then I sort of pretty much at that point said, I'm not doing any more Tony Tucker parts. I'm not playing the part again. I've had enough of it. It's done. And then out of the blue, I get a phone call saying, I'm doing Rise of the Foot Soldier 3. And I was like, no, fucking hell, no, not again. And it was like, can't you cast me in something else? And then they said, look, you know, it's a really good script, really good director. All the actors are coming back. We want you to come back. And the thing is, I've had a great time working with Craig Fairbrassy and Get Lucky and, you know, Rise of the Foot Soldier 1.
Yeah.
So to work with him again, it was like, you know, I'm going to have a laugh. And the script was really good. They had a big UK distribution deal on the table. And, you know, they basically said, look, we're going to give it a theatrical release. We're going to get behind it. And, you know, if the script hadn't been very good, and if the director hadn't been very good, and it was, you know, none of the actors were coming back, I might have not have done it. But because the planets aligned, and you know, we went down to Marbella last week at the Marbella Film Festival, we won Best Film, and
that's brilliant. The
first time that I'd actually seen the movie. So, and I've got to say, it blew me away. I walked out the cinema and I was like, wow, you know, this stands up. This is as good as the first one. So I think anybody that liked the first one will love this one. You know, it actually paves the way for another film. And, you know, if you saw him somewhere, you know who he was. You know, he had that sort of definitive look about him when
right.
he walked in somewhere. People would go, there he is, there's Tony Tucker, you know. So I think he quite liked the fact that he stood out and he didn't look like everybody else.
Sure. Like a honey monster, as they say.
Yeah, he was the honey monster, mate. I think he actually based himself on the honey monster.
What can you tell us about your role in this movie, Rise of the Foot Soldier 3? We know that in the first one, we saw when you guys met, and obviously you're not going to do exactly the same thing. So what can we expect?
What's good about this film is there's a couple of very short, I'd say there's probably 3 minutes of the first film in this one. So the extra 90 minutes is all unseen stuff, unseen scenes.
Sure.
Because when we did the first one, there was, you know, the script was 300 pages long. There were so many scenes, so many stories. And the problem is you can't make a film 4 hours long. So really, that first script we had, that lent itself to three films. So,
right.
But you know, we was only making one. So in essence, what Rise of the Foot Soldier 3 is all the unseen stuff and all the things that went on that we didn't cover in the first one. So it's literally just the boys coming back, misbehaving, getting out of hand again. And you could probably edit Rise of the Foot Soldier 1 and Rise of the Foot Soldier 3 together, and you could have a three-hour film like The Godfather.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody would sit there and say, oh, you know, this isn't very good, or, oh, why have they done that? You know, it's not a rehash. It's not like you're going to watch this film and it'll be the same stuff just regurgitated over and over again. It's completely fresh. It's completely new. There's quite a lot of it shot in Marbella. There's loads of, you know, hilarious scenes. You know, I mean, the good thing we got right on it, I mean, especially the stuff that I did, it's very funny because, you know, obviously with Pat Tate's character, he's going around smashing people up and caving people's heads with fire extinguishers and killing everybody. And obviously, you know, we can't all do that because otherwise people just, you know, after about 20 minutes, they start saying, fucking hell, I can't cope with it. There's too much violence in this.
Right.
It's just mindless. So what we try to do, me and Roland, Roland played Craig Ralph, we tried to bring a lot of humour in. And there's a few scenes we were in where we ad-libbed some stuff, we improvised some stuff. I mean, I'm sure quite a few people saw the Range Rover karaoke song we
well,
did.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. Everybody knows how long the day can be on set. And when Craig was on, he spoke about that video, Cheese Your Cunt. And you did that in between takes. For the listeners who don't know, it's Cheese Your Cunt was a line used by Pat in the first Foot Soldier film after he ordered extra topping on his pizza. Now, that video went viral. Did you expect that?
Well, no, but the thing is, what we were doing, we was on the set, and that, you know, it wasn't planned, right? And normally, if you don't plan things, they normally turn out better. So essentially what happened was the scene that we were doing, when you see the film, you'll see the scene and you'll go, oh, that's where they did Cheese Your Cunt. What we did was, the director said, put some music on and get into it. You know, we had this sort of fake cocaine, which is like glucose powder, and after you sniffed a couple of lines of it, you actually do start going a bit fucking hyper. It's like having a sniffing an energy drink up your nose. So we were doing that in the car. We had the music on, and then I went, just for a laugh, let's just do a video of us singing and fucking about. So that's how it started. And then, you know, nobody said, oh, when this happens, you sing that and I'll sing this and we're doing this. We just did it all. We was all fucking about. And then we watched it back and we were laughing. I said, I've got to fucking put this out on social media. And I think we ended up with like 2.8 million fucking views.
Brilliant.
You know, for a two-minute video, just of us fucking about in a Range Rover was great. And then people started going, oh, it's the guys doing Yes, It's Boys thing again. Oh, yeah, very funny. But I didn't realise we were actually filming a fucking prequel to the first one. We had a lot of fun making a film. You know, I think the performances of all the actors in the film were on point. I think nobody done a weak performance. I think the story works well. It's funny, it's violent. And as I said, I think, you know, people will watch it and it'll be like, wow, we need more of this, you know. So
sure,
bring it on.
Now, there's a great cast in this movie. Did you have anything to do with the casting for this one?
No, I mean on this one, I mean, the thing is, you know, the cast, it was already cast, really. So all the people that were in the first one actually came back and reprised their roles. And a couple of the others were a bit fucking silly about it, saying, oh, no, I'm not playing that part again. In, you know, lovies or whatever. And the thing is, it's all very well to take yourself seriously, but, you know, most of us are just working actors. So if somebody offers you some money and you'd be in a film that's going to get released in the cinema, and it's a good script and a good director, then, you know, you should do it. I mean, it's that simple. But, you know, a few people did thought that, you know, they didn't want to go back and they recast the roles. So Steve Daly and his wife Julie, they did the casting. And, you know, they cast, you know, Sean Ryder and Paddy Doherty and Jamie Foreman and Larry Ladd. As I said, most of the casting, there was nothing to cast. It was sort of like, here's the film, these are the people, let's see if they want to come back. And the ones that don't, we just recast them for other people. So that's kind of how that all worked out. But as I said, there's probably only... I mean, there's loads of small supporting roles and some extra roles, but the main cast was already cast before... before we, you know, even went out to cast.
Now, you're also the executive producer. As executive producer, how often do you get people coming up to you saying, can I be in one of your movies?
Oh, all the time. I mean, you know, it's always funny, though, because what a lot of people don't realise is that the film game's a really hard game and the acting game's really hard. And, you know, you know there is no shortcut or magic button to press to become famous or to get into movies. And... you know, I think everybody has to, you know, what a lot of actors need to understand is that just because there's a gangster film being made and they might look like a gangster, there's not necessarily going to be a part for them. So,
yeah,
you know, like everybody else, you have to audition. You obviously have to put yourself out there. And, you know, I because I know how hard it is, if I can help somebody, I will. But, you know, I can't, unfortunately, just put everybody I meet into the film because they've asked me to as a favour.
You've done lots of different things in the past. Before you took up acting, you worked as a very successful rave promoter. And in fact, there's a documentary in the works at the moment, isn't there? King of the Clubs. Can you tell us anything about that?
When I came out of the club scene in 2003, everyone said, you've had such a amazing journey, you should write a book. So I wrote a book, which is available as an e-book on Amazon, called King of Clubs. And it was an Amazon bestseller. You know, it's done very well. And... everybody kept saying, nobody's ever done a documentary on the drum bass and garage scene, which I was right at the beginning of and created. And, you know, a lot of these stars, whether it was, you know, people like Andy C, DJ Hype, Groove Rider Fabio, Goldie, you know, Solid Crew, EZ, all of these DJs were resident DJs for us. And, you know, if you look at them now, some of them have had number one best-selling hits on the music front. They're international DJs that, you know, play around the world. I mean, you know, it's amazing, you know, the brands that we created 25 years ago are still going strong today, and they're still packing out 20,000, 30,000 people at these festivals. So that's the reason why we did the documentary, partly to let people see, get into that world. And, you know, there's so many funny stories, so many scary stories, and then there's obviously the artists themselves that have got funny stories as well. So it's just basically pulling together everybody from that scene and sharing their experiences and journeys, and then putting it on camera. And I think people are going to love that documentary. I think anybody who's ever gone out to a nightclub or danced in a field or listened to music, they're going to be fascinated to see it. So I think it's going to be a big hit. It should be finished by January, and then we're going to look to sell it to a distributor sort of February, March time, and then it should come out in the spring next year.
Oh, nice one. Now, if you had to choose one profession, only one from all the jobs that you do, which would you choose? Would it be acting? Would it be directing? Producing?
Well, I've not directed. I'm directing the documentary because I know it inside out. So it's very difficult to hire a director to direct a film about you and about your experience and stories when you know it inside out. So that's one of the reasons why I've decided to direct the documentary with my producing partner, funnily enough, Richard Turner. So we produced quite a few films together, and we had this sort of weird conversation where he just went, "Look, you know, we work together. It's a documentary, you know, we've both been in the business long enough to, you know, work for a camera, we should co-direct this." So that's the only thing I've directed. But, you know, I think directing is such a specialist and complicated thing. I think, you know, I wouldn't put myself down as a director. You know, I need to do it for like 10 or 15 years before I can even, you know, claim to be a good director. But, you know, I love acting, I love producing. I don't think I could choose between the two, to be honest. I mean, there's days when I'd love to just act, and there's days when I just love to produce. So I think it's 50-50 on that one. I couldn't choose. It'd be I either do both or I don't do anything.
Yeah. Well, it's clear that you love the business, and I want to thank you for giving us your time today. Rise of the Foot Soldier 3 opens in cinemas today, and if you don't manage to get to the cinema to see it, you can pre-order the DVD on Amazon right now. It's out on DVD on Boxing Day. I've already ordered my copy. Good luck with the movie, Terry, and of course all your other projects. If you ever need an ugly Scotsman to do a line, and I don't mean to do a line, to do a verbal line in any of your future films, just give me a shout, man. Thanks for joining us, Terry.
Well, thanks for having us on. And one last thing to add.
Sure.
I know that you can watch the film on the Sky Store. They've got an exclusive deal with Sky. So anybody that can't go to the cinema, you can't download it. You can only watch it. So it's like a streaming service on Sky. So anybody that's over November that can't get to the cinema, they can literally press a button on Sky and watch it, you know, on the 3rd of November. So
brilliant.
There's a lot of people doing that, yeah. So for all you lazy fuckers who don't want to go to the cinema and pay £30 for a bowl of popcorn and £20 for a drink, you just press a button and you can have the stuff from Sainsbury's in it, and it'll be a lot cheaper.
Fantastic. Listen, I get Terry, I can't thank you enough for coming on, man.
Thanks, fella. See you soon.
Bye, cheers, mate. Bye.
Black Sky Radio.
Joining me now on the phone is legendary frontman of the Happy Mondays, Sean Ryder, who also appears in Rise of the Foot Soldier 3. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, cheers.
Now, I have to say, lots of people saying this is your debut acting role, but you actually appeared in the Avengers back in 1998, didn't you? That was your first role, wasn't it?
1998. Very, very briefly. I think that was the end of my career. I started off well, really, with like Uma Thurman and Ray Fiennes and Sean Connery, but it never got anywhere because I sort of went out in the world and panned the movie. So I was cut out of it pretty much. And Eddie and I went to Hollywood. And I went back to Salford.
Brilliant. I think that's absolutely fantastic. Now, in Rise of the Foot Soldier 3, you're playing this character, Mad Dog. Who came up with that name, and what can you tell us about the character?
I've no idea, but I think I did a bit of method acting, because like, one of my knees came out just as I was about to film, so the director said, no, leave it, it'll add to character. So, well, no idea where it came from, but I had a good time doing it.
What can you tell us a bit about the character of Mad Dog?
He pretty much runs the jail, I think. I mean, Mad Dog runs the jail. You know, he's got his boys in there. He gives orders to, and then Craig comes along and takes his eyeballs out and throws him over a banister. Really, I always wanted to die in a movie.
I'm interested to know, is acting something you've always wanted to do, or was it just circumstances? Somebody said, look, you'd be perfect for this, or come and have a go in this movie. Is it something you've actually wanted to do? How did you land the role?
Good grief, how did I do it? It was McGee, actually. Alan McGee is friends with, one of the producers. And the next thing, Alan says, you fancy a role in Foot Soldier? But I'd already been sort of talking about, you know, gangster pictures with Alan, and I thought Foot Soldier's probably one of our best, one of our best gangster picks, along mm-hmm. with like The Long Good Friday. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know, it's like, Alan, look, I've got you a little part in this movie. So I thought, right, I'll do it. I mean, you know, like you said, 1998 was the last time I'd done anything like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, I mean, I don't have any big plans to sort of become an actor, but if there's any parts along the lines of that sort of thing, you know, I'll do it. You know, like I said, I've not done anything for a long time, and then the Avengers, really, I didn't even have a line, so, you know, I walked in on set on the first day, and basically it was the prison set up, and I got me costume on, sat down, Craig comes in, shouts these lines at me, and I just went blank. I couldn't remember anything. And I sort of turned into a little embarrassed boy. You know, with his 7-foot geezer there, looked like a murderer shouting at me. And I just went, ooh. Anyway, he sort of like, come on, let's have 10 minutes. So we had half an hour while he talked three things, come back, did it, and it was great. He was brilliant. I mean, I think he's a brilliant actor. When he gets into character, yeah, he's just great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do little bits of extra work in movies, and I have to tell you a quick story about a guy who was an extra, and he'd never spoken in a movie before, and the director said, look, we need a guy to do two words. All he had to, you know, the scene was, there was a farmer coming towards him, and the farmer says, yeah, it's a lovely day. All this guy had to say was, it is. Well, I'll tell you, he fucked it up, he said, because it came to the point where he had to do his line, he's been practising it, the guy's pacing up and down, practising this, these two words, it is. Well, they gave him the cue, and the farmer said the line, and the guy said, is it? He got the two words back to front, he only had to say two words. But you don't see yourself as the next big baddie in Corey, then?
Oh, no. You see, I mean, Corey, I love Corey, I watch it all the time, I think it's great, but I mean, you know, it takes too much time up, doesn't it, going acting in Coronation Street? I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of time. I mean, and now they're working even more, aren't they, with an extra hour in a week, so...
Mm-hmm. We know you're still making music, and you're about to set off on your greatest hits tour with the Happy Mondays. Is that next week? That kicks off?
Yeah. I mean, we've just released a new Black Grape album. We've got to get that one in. That did really, really well. So I've got, you know, after the Mondays tour, Mondays are sort of going to bed for a year. We'll do a few festivals while we sort of spend 2018 taking the new Black Grape stuff all around the world. So it's great.
Now, I actually have a question about your music from one of the listeners. Colin Telford from Edinburgh wants to know, what do you think of, and you've probably been asked this before, what do you think of shows like X Factor, and how do you think the Happy Mondays would have did if they had to audition for a show like that?
Well, we'd have never done it on X Factor, you know. I mean, that wasn't the sort of line we go down in. I mean, I know that now Simon Cowell's sort of taking more and more, you know, people who write their own stuff. But, you know, for someone like me, in a band, so week after week, do somebody else's stuff and sing somebody else's songs, that wouldn't have been right for us. But, you know, I mean, it's just like opportunity knocks, you know. Some good stuff came out of that, and there's some amazing stuff come out of X Factor, but it's not for everybody. It's like The Voice. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not everybody, but there's a certain road you go down, and that's right for some people. It's just not right, you know, for... bands like what we've done.
Sure. Now, just to quickly get back to the movie, have you seen it yet? Did you go to the premiere?
I haven't, you know. I've not, because the premiere was on, I think, either last Thursday or Friday, and I was in Italy working, so I couldn't get there, and I was gutted.
Oh, man. But I'm sure you'll get the chance to see it. There'll be other opportunities for it. I'm sure you're looking forward to seeing it as well.
I am. I really am. Because, like I say, I loved the first one. It's a classic, and the second one was great. I thought the second one was great, you know, but, I'm hearing good things, so, you know, I can't wait to see it.
How did you get on with the guys like Terry Stone? I mean, these guys have a laugh on set.
Oh, yeah, listen, everyone I met was brilliant. I mean, they're as bonkers as I am, so it was great. You know, I met some great people, I've made some new friends, so, you know, all good.
Okay, we've got one more question for you. This is it. My son's 18 years old. And he got dead excited when I told him I was going to be talking to you. Now, he became a fan of yours after seeing you in the jungle.
Jungle, yeah.
Do you have fond memories of that? Would you do it again if they asked you? Like, if they did this sort of...
Yeah, I loved it. You know, I kicked and screamed not to go in that. You know, the record company wanted me to do it, my kids wanted me to do it, the missus wanted me to do it, and I didn't. And he was like, you know, oh, an artist, we don't do that sort of thing. And when I got in there, I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. I had a fantastic time. And the good thing is it opened us to a whole lot of new fans, you know. I mean, I sort of now have come to see Mondays and Black Grape. The sort of age range go from about 8 years old to 80, so it's great.
Oh, that's something you just don't foresee. But national television, it just brings in new fans. But But listen, I want to thank you for giving us your time today, because I know it's a busy time for you just now. I want to wish you all the best with Rise of the Foot Soldier 3, and of course the Mondays tour. And we'll play something off the new album.
Brilliant.
If there's tickets left, I'll come along see you in Glasgow. You're in Glasgow in December.
Yeah, of course. Listen, just get hold of me, see him when you're on the guest list with whoever you want.
That would be fantastic, man. Thanks very
much. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Well, Sean, all the best with the tour and with the Black Grape, and of course with the movie. I look forward to seeing it and seeing you getting your eyes popped out.
Cheers, pal.
Okay, cool, mate. Take it easy. Thanks, Sean. Man. Speak soon.
Thank you. Have a good day. Ta-ra.
You too, mate. Ta-ra.
I want you to know that I love you, baby. Want you to know that I care. I'm so happy when you're around me, but I'm sad when you're not there. Sing the song now. What you gonna do? Oh, yeah. What you gonna do?
Tell the truth.
What you gonna do? I want you to come when I call you and let me walk you home at night. What you gonna do?
Yeah, yeah.
but I'm sad when you're not there. Here they come again. What you gonna do? Say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys' brigade. I'm so happy and you're so kind. You want more money, of course I don't mind. To buy nuclear textbooks for Tommy Twines, and the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing, society's got some going underground. What if the brass bands play up? Some pleasure and to hate me, I've had enough already on my plate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging between the facts. You see, here's what you get. You've made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leaders and place your trust, as their lies will shut down and their promises rust. You'll see killing machines with paper rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give what the society wants. I'm going underground. Till my head explodes, I turn on the news and my body explodes. This plane sheet on my TV screen, but this boy shout, but this boy scream. Going underground, going underground, I'm going underground, I'm going
That's The Jam with Going Underground. My next guest is actor, writer and promoter Steve Wraith, and in Rise of the Foot Soldier 3, he plays a character called Steamboat. Steve Wraith, welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks very much.
Tell us about this character you're playing in Rise of the Foot Soldier 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big opportunity for me. I've been a professional actor now for the last 7 or 8 years. I've had some good little parts. And this one has been the best so far. An opportunity to play a part in an iconic film, alongside some big names, the likes of Craig Fairbrass, Terry Stone, Andy Beckwith, and of course Jamie Foreman, and a few others. And it's a big opportunity for me. Steamboat, without giving too much away, isn't a very pleasant character, and he basically is in prison. And, his main objective is, to survive in prison. But he's not a pleasant character. And as a lot of people are in prison, he's part of a gang. And he comes across Pat Tate in prison. So you can imagine this scenario. I can imagine that, any Rise of the Foot Soldier fans will know, what's going to happen. And, it makes for exciting viewing. The part that I play, as I say, is something which, I enjoy doing. And Steamboat is certainly, it was a tasty role to get into. The character is superb, really. I'd read the Essex Boys stories over the years anyway. You know, there's some good books out there and there's some bad books.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously I've seen, you know, a lot of the films, a lot of the documentaries. So, you know, I'm very clued up about the whole story. And to actually, you know, be in the third film with the original cast, more or less, has been great. And, you know, just a bit surreal for me, really, sitting there with, you know, those characters, those names I'd already mentioned, those actors, but also the likes of, you know, Billy Murray and Eddie Webber. Eddie, you know, has been in so many of these films over the years that I have watched, you know, just to get a chance to be involved in a couple of scenes with him was great. And I learned a lot from the guys. You know, it was superb to meet these people and just to share a bit of screen time. And I'm hoping that this film will, you know, take me to the next level.
Yes, absolutely. Now, is the character of Steamboat fictional or is he a real person?
He's fictional as far as the scriptwriters are concerned. You know, the character that I play is based on a few people I've met over the years. You know, as a writer, I've written a few books on various criminals. You know, I've met a lot of the big names over the years. You know, I used to sell merchandise back in the day for the Cray Twins when they were behind bars. So wow. You know, I've had a fair mix of criminals, you know, that I've met. Obviously, this is a northeast character. It's a northern character, and you know, I wrote a book with Stu Wheatman called "The Sayers: Tried and Tested at the Highest Level" about a northeast family, the Sayers. So, I think the inspiration probably comes from meeting those characters and doing the book with them.
Now, how did you land the role? Was it just through contacts in the business, or was it
through
just
contacts? Yeah, I mean, you know, I've got an agent. I've got a great agent in the northeast, Sam Claypool. She, you know, she had faith in me, gave us the opportunity to make the step up from being an extra to professional. And you know, I think a lot of people expect an agent just to go out and get your work, but a lot of it essentially is, you know, going out and getting the part yourself. I think I've learned, you know, in the first 8 years that you can't really rely on your mates who are in the acting world, because it's a dog-eat-dog world. They look after themselves and, you know, they want the parts and they're not necessarily going to get you in. But I find with directors it can be a bit different. And, you know, I met Zach Adler, who directs the film. I met him at the premiere of Rise of the Krays and Fall of the Krays, and I knew the two guys who were playing the part of the Krays. I'd helped them out with a little bit of advice in you know, in the build up to the second film, and they were thankful for that, and you know, essentially they introduced me to the director. I did a bit of social media for the film, and you know, Zach and I hit it off, and he just said, "Look, I've got a film coming up. I think you might be ideal for it. You know, I'm not going to ask you to cast or audition for it. I've seen your showreel. You know, I'll be in touch." And you know, you hear this many, many times. But Zach was as good as his word. He got in touch with us, sent us the script, and you know, the part was ideal. You know, delighted to take part in it, and you know, great to work with, very easy to work with. You know, great director, and you know, somebody who I classify as a friend now, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, that there'll be opportunities that'll arise again with him moving forward.
Absolutely. You remind me so much of myself, Steve, you really do, because you've got your finger in so many different pies as well. You're a writer, you're a promoter, actor. If you had to choose only one of those professions as a career, which would you choose?
You know, for me, I enjoy selling. I think I'm a natural salesman. I do enjoy selling tickets. I do enjoy, you know, promoting events. We had Floyd Mayweather here in February in Newcastle. You know, I work a lot with my heroes. You know, I've done many events with Alan Shearer as a Newcastle fan. That, you know, he's God on Tyneside, really. And, you know, I've worked a lot with him. I suppose that, you know, that is probably, you know, the bread and butter is the thing that gives us the buzz, you know, still. But the dream is still to be an actor. You know, the dream role for me would be the villain on Coronation Street. The place these days seems to be flooded with them. But you know, Pat Phelan seems to be doing a very good job on the cobbles at the minute. But you know, I'll never write it off. I'm an ambitious guy. I'm somebody who would enjoy, you know, getting a chance to be on the cobbles and be the person that everybody loved to hate. So never say never. But that's the ambition as an actor. But But writing, yeah, you know, I've been lucky enough to have, you know, a good writing partner in Stu. We've written some great books over the years. We did the Newcastle United football hooligan book, The NME. We also, you know, did the Sears book, as I mentioned earlier. We did, the very first book we did was the book about my life and times with the Cray twins, the Cray's The Geordie Connection. So, you know, we've had some great books out there. It's been, you know, it's been an amazing ride on that. But, you know, I spin different plates and, you know, you have to pay the bills like everybody else. So, you know, I try to balance those plates, you know, correctly so that, you know, I can give enough time to each of those professions.
Sean Ryder's in this movie. What was it like working with Sean? What was it like on set?
Sean was superb. I mean, you know, obviously Sean and I are in the same gang, if you like, in the film. Mm-hmm. You know, he was great. I'd met Sean a couple of times when I did security in Newcastle when he came up here and played with the Happy Mondays and with Black Grape, but he didn't really know me then. So obviously when he walked on set, you know, I had him at an advantage. You know, I obviously remembered him, and he was nervous like anybody is. You know, I think if you're nervous as an actor going on a set, that's not a bad thing. And I thought that he did a great job. And I think when people watch the film, they'll love it. But I think the nerves for him got the better of him in a lot of ways. And the final words he said to me on set were, "That's the last acting job I'm doing." But we got a lovely message off him. He tweeted something really nice after he'd worked with me and Andy Beckwith in particular, because, you know, we're that gang in prison. And he just said that, you know, had it not been for us, he doesn't think he would have got through it. So it was nice of him to say that. You know, again, somebody who I've got a lot of time and respect for.
Sure. Well, I'm a big fan of the Rise of the Foot Soldier movies. It's particularly the first one. And I think this one is going to be as closer to the first one than the second one was. So I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks for taking the time out to come on, Steve, because I know you've got a really busy schedule at the moment. Rise of the Foot Soldier 3 in cinemas from tonight, November 3rd. Go and see it if you get the chance, because it really sounds fantastic. A lot of the same cast from the original movie. Steve, thanks again for coming on, man.
Yeah, not a problem, mate. Good luck with the show. Thanks for giving the film a bit of publicity. It, you know, with people like yourself, I'm sure it'll be a big success. And those people who love the Rise of the Foot Soldier films, I think will love this one. I'm going to say it because I play a part in it, but I do believe that this is probably the best of the three.
Oh, that sounds good. And Steve, come back on sometime and we'll have a chat about your other stuff, your promotional stuff and your writing. And of course, I must tell you, I tend to watch a lot of the sort of London gangster stuff on YouTube, documentaries and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been watching all these different pieces of footage, and I've only just realised that the account holder is Steve Wraith. It was you all this time, and I hadn't even realised it was your footage I was looking at. So there's some great stuff on YouTube. Look up Steve Wraith. That's W-R-A-I-T-H. Have you got a website as well, Steve?
Yeah, newcastlelegends.com. That's where people can find out about all the events that we do as well, yeah. Anybody wanting to read the books can go on to mojorisingpublishing.com. It just, if you go onto there, that leads you to all the books.
You're a bit of a Doors fan, are you?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Mojo Rising sort of gave it away there.
Exactly, mate, exactly. But great to speak to you, and as I say, thanks for supporting the film.
Okay, Steve, have a great rest of the day, and good luck with the movie.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers,
take care,
mate. Bye-bye.
I feel lost and confused. I've been around, I've played the fool. I gotta find a way. This time the pressure's on. Can see the goal, my friend is gone. Life ain't what it used to be. It's such a terrible thing when you feel life ain't worth living and you're just treading water. But this time I must be strong. Read the signs, find my way home from the edge of the border. Heaven knows what life may bring. There could be blue skies through the rain. And I know I must find my way. So come on, help me to release my soul today. Through this pain, it cuts like a knife, burn All this pain, where could be found? I cried my tears into the ground. Angel, once you saved me, have the seeds of hope been sown? Under feet, the grass has grown. Still I stand here, feeling empty. I've been living with fear, but I'm moving on. I'm standing here. Life will go on. We'll go on. We'll go on. Hey. Heaven knows what life may bring. There could be blue skies through the rain. And I know I must find my way. So come on, help me to release my soul today.
Melt me down to a churning, burning, huh? That's the way I spread my message to